This is the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Now that we are done with the official conversation, Tyler O'Rell from Quinn Street and I, we just stopped record, hit record again, just kind of keep going. This is the after show. Welcome, Tyler. How was that first part for you, the conversation?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think, you know, you're bringing out some great questions. If you're talking about contact center, talking about sales, you know, and where you're going, you know, helping to fill the world with authentic conversations and whatnot. It's much needed. I think that's huge. So I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. It's good stuff.
What do you like, just in thinking of just so many more topics, and there's anyone who's hosted a podcast or knows me, like there's some questions that I have kind of prepared and then just, you know, we just go where the conversation goes. The biggest thing I think is important is there's many companies like you out there in this space. And this isn't a, what makes you different? What's good about Quinn Street versus the others, but us as consumers and what you see in the headlines is so many contact centers out there giving everyone a bad reputation or a bad feeling about people calling just because of the robocallers and the scammers and the spammers and all that terrible stuff. Like, where do you see that changing? What point do you see like those actors being gone? You know, how can people running organizations differentiate themselves from those? Because that's one of the biggest things. If you're calling somebody, how do they know you're somebody they want to talk to versus somebody who is going to tell them the IRS is about to knock on their door and arrest them?
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. It's a big piece of what we do from a compliance perspective. You know, for us at Quinn Street, it's super important to differentiate ourselves to follow through our brand. And so, you know, we partner with different vendors to make sure that our phone numbers are getting through to consumers. And we also display our branding on those devices. Now, that's good and bad, right? It's good. It's good in terms of everybody knows who's calling them. You know, if you requested information, you're going to know that our brand, who we're calling you from is going to be reaching out to you. The customer at that point gets to make the decision. It's not just, oh, I wonder who this is. It's a local number that's coming through and this might be, oh my gosh, might be my dentist. I better pick it up. Right.
Right.
And then it's like you said, it's the IRS person that's, or the fake IRS thing. It's like you owe money. They can decide right then if like, oh, that's for an auto insurance quote or that's for my personal loan request. They can answer then. They can let it go. Here's a voicemail. Maybe you message them with an SMS. Maybe you send an email around that same thing. And all of that ecosystem, including that brand, it creates additional layers of trust. So I know when I'm calling, here's my brand. When the voicemail gets left, if you're leaving a voicemail, there's the brand again. Oh, an SMS comes through. There's a brand on that. All of those are connecting the dots. Maybe I can trust that. That's that site I was on looking for that thing. That's huge. But again, there's also parts, you know, with just customers being more savvy with, you know, issues and, you know, and the whole telemarketing / robocall thing, and all everybody gets swept into that piece, right? And so I think, how do you get the bad actors out of there? Well, I think there's a lot going on with that in different industries, different groups that are trying to you know, eliminate some of those bad actors by forcing certain situations, forcing registrations, forcing you know, phone carriers to manage that a little more closely. I think that's a big piece of it. I don't think you're ever going to get them out of there. I just don't think it's possible. And I just hope the pendulum doesn't swing the other way where they, you know, just the bad actors create a whole mess for people that are actually providing a good service. But I think it starts with, you have to do everything above board 100% all the time. If that reduces something for you as a business in a small way, short term, I feel like there's long-term gain that comes from that. By providing that good service, you're going to get a lot better support in that going forward.
Yeah. And I got to wonder how many companies just are thinking, well, I need to make money today. I need to pay my bills today, or I see a golden opportunity to make money today. I don't want to slow down change things for the long-term benefit, right? They're in, they're in hunting mode. They're not thinking about farming, you know, long-term. Right. They might not be around. And of course, that just makes it more difficult. And I see a lot of those organizations say, well, we could be more compliant, or we could just, you know, play the numbers game, right? If people aren't going to answer because they don't recognize our phone number, we'll just call even more people. And then it's just this scorched earth thing that actually just makes it harder, because now people, consumers, just don't trust anybody, right?
Doesn't that's right. That's right. Yeah, I think it's, I think, you know, there's some, it's an education piece at the customer level. I think you and I probably don't pick up phone calls from people where the phone number, you don't know it. You've been in the business, you know not to do that. You don't click on links and suspicious emails, things like that. I mean, stuff that seems like basic, but you know, if the part that really frustrates me in the space is the people that are out there doing 20, 30, 40 calls over the course of a week to someone, and then it just creates, you know, like that robocall mentality, and everybody then becomes a robocaller, and then that starts moving into the political sphere where oh, we got to stop these robocalls, and then everybody's included in that. It's really important to you know, us in the call center space at Quinn Street to be on the, you know, the front edge of that, and spending that time and energy helping to, you know, change thinking about that at those levels, like that, that this is how good contact center behavior looks from a calling perspective, and help, you know, influence to some degree what can be influenced, you know, for different institutions and laws and stuff like that. So, you know, that's what we're, that's what we're trying to do, and putting our best foot forward and not being those bad actors. And then when people do pick up, like in the last conversation, when they do pick up, we're encouraging them, and we're providing them the services they need in a way that's positive, not pushing people through. That's not how you, you do things. So it's got to be from start to finish. You have to be, you know, doing what's right from start to finish. Even if there's a little, you know, negative pain that comes with it, like you said, it's like, a, you know, short-term versus long-term.
Yeah. You got to commit to it. And it's interesting because you're talking about it. I'm thinking like that race to the bottom by the robocallers or people in various sales industries, right? Where it's like, oh, well, we got to compete, or we got to do this to get more market share. And it can be that race to the bottom instead of race to the top. And then, you know, what happens, unfortunately, like you said, the pendulum swings, political government gets involved, and then it's a guilty, guilty until proven innocent model for everyone in the space. And then everyone has to pay for it. And then you have to go through the process of proving, no, wait, it's not us. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, we're one of the good guys, which is of course, you know, what bad guys will say too. So it's tough to know who's telling the truth in that. Yeah. So you've started contact centers, you've been in the space for a long time. I think one of the interesting things, and obviously you've been at Quinn Street for over 9 years now, and and evolved and grown within the organization. Speaking of, you know, that where we ended up the last episode talking about, you know, moving up and being a part of a company and just growing with it. if you had to start over, if you were to start over, like you went out separate, or everything got erased from Quinn Street and Quinn Street had to start up a new contact center, what would you do different based on everything you've learned? Like, how would you start things different? What would you do different? Where do you see would be the best place just to make it amazing as quickly as possible?
Yeah. Yeah. That's something really to ponder there. I think there's so much technology, Jason, that exists in the contact center space that lives in the cloud. That's it, that you can really leverage to improve your performance, reduce the amount of people required to engage consumers, improve your, you know, improve the conversations that you're having with customers, and do it on a, you know, in an inexpensive way, I think, so to speak, right? You know, it's not cheap, but inexpensive way. You don't always have to have the Cadillacs of every product out there. That would be something, I think, if someone was starting out new in that space, that you really think through all the different products and tech products that exist in the space, that and think of it from a how are these going to actually help my agent or my rep improve the conversation with my customers? I think that's where, not saying that you don't have those in contact centers, but my experience at contact centers, they're really like, at first I had this, the phone platform, and then you load up a QA system, and then you're doing analytics products, you're doing speech stuff or whatever, but it's always bolted onto something, right? Versus like, what are the suite of products? What are the tools to design, like the design of the contact center, architecture of those to make it the best possible set of circumstances for your agents, and then have it be very intuitive for them to use those tools. There's a lot of great stuff out there in terms of knowledge management systems, learning management, real-time analytics, phone platforms that, are very flexible and, you're able to get into relatively inexpensively. So I think that's probably where I'd go. I can't say that I'm I've never been in that spot, from that, but if someone was like, okay, start from scratch and zero, what would you do? You'd have to start, there's a lot of options that are available in the space right now that you can look at to help improve your performance.
Well, and I think that is valuable, because if you're starting a new place, it's like, what technology? It would be the equivalent of like, if you moved into a small house and then you kept remodeling it and adding rooms. And it's kind of this mishmash of things, and it's better, but it's not great. And it doesn't maybe flow well because you had restrictions and, there's limitations, versus, all right, now we're going to move into a new house. Let's build it from scratch. What do we want it to look like and feel like and be set up? And then building that, instead of just jumping into and going, oh, we know how to remodel, so let's just go in and they'll just remodel again, and just continually perpetuate that cycle. So
yeah, for sure.
I think that's a good place to start. Last question. We're recording this late July 2022. What are you excited about coming up, business, personal, the rest of this year? Like, what do you see on the horizon? What kind of interesting stuff is coming up for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think business wise, we're looking at some of those technology tools that will help us take our contact centers into a different space. Tools that can, help our reps real time in what we're doing, and not spending so much time pouring through information all the time, but using tools that you have real-time analytics, real-time dashboarding, things of that nature, improved speed and coaching and training. Those are pretty big. Those are pretty big things on the radar right now for us. So, I'm really excited about some, like I said, with the certification, the PACE, certification compliance. That's, being able to kind of, bring that to the market in what we're doing with our clients, letting, there's always a level of ease with those, with that, right? I mean, it was an arduous process, I'll put it that way. but it's worth it at the end of the day, right? Because, we're trying to differentiate ourselves, and our brands from, the rest of the marketplace. So, that's what's going on. A lot of that. So continuing to grow, continuing to, train and develop. And that's what we're doing.
Like you said, you've got to be growing. Otherwise, what's going on? So Tyler, I appreciate you being here. For everyone that didn't catch the first part, obviously go listen to that. There's show notes in there, and then for this with the links. But if you're here now, you want to find out more, you can find Tyler Orell, O-R-R-E-L-L, on LinkedIn. If you just search him there, you'll find him. Company is Quinn Street. You can also go to quinnstreet.com, Q-U-I-N street.com. You want to find out more about that, because the biggest thing, and not to be like a commercial or to plug it too much, but I just want to support the people who are doing it right as well. The ones who care about being certified and care about their agents and their managers and helping them, because that's what's going to change the industry, right? Mm-hmm. It's yeah. not that, you know, this is some kind of paid product placement. It's let's support the people who are doing it above board as much as possible, which, you know, part of why I want to be you to be here and talk about that. And yes, this is possible. And then also, what are these best practices? How do we, you know, like they say, a rising tide lifts all boats. Like, how do we help each other and help the good people move up? So Tyler, I appreciate you being here. Part one, part two, the after show, going through all this stuff, sharing all this information. I've enjoyed it and I appreciate you being here.
Yeah. Glad you had me. Doing great stuff, Jason. So I appreciate all the work you guys are doing on the podcast.
Thanks very much.
All right.
And for everyone watching, listening, make sure, again, check out part one. The videos are on YouTube. You can find clips on LinkedIn. The podcast is The Authentic Persuasion Show online, depending on where you found this video. Maybe you don't know that. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you can get all of this, the episodes 5 days a week, the guest episodes, Tuesdays and Wednesdays when those come out. My guest today, Tyler, appreciate him being here. And that's it for this episode. Until next time, keep selling with Authentic Persuasion.